So I don't know about you, but every time of year, like right around like this time of the year, I go through two things. Number one, I find myself at least once, like I'm writing a check or something, and like I write the wrong year on it. Like in this case, like the other day, I'm writing a check, and I write 2016 on the damn thing. The other thing is when you find yourself looking back on like 2016, and like you're wondering, like where the hell did it all go? Well, today I'm about to show you where every bit of that year went, and I have to warn you, it's not going to be pretty. My name is Paul Castain, and I'm the author of the Your Sales Playbook blog and your host for the Sales Playbook podcast. I've personally trained over 10,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So when I first started Castain Training Systems back in 2011, in fact, we're going to be coming up on the sixth anniversary of the business, so I'm really proud of that. I remember, in fact, I have to fess up to something. I'm not even going to like try to sweep it under the carpet. Back in those days, I didn't look at the money as closely as I do today. Today, I'm like obsessed with it. I really monitor numbers several times throughout the day and weekly and monthly and all that. And back then, I from a sales perspective, I looked at it weekly and monthly, but not to the point that I really should have been looking at it. And I remember we came up on year end, we ran out the reports and everything else, and we're getting ready to get things all set for the accountant. And I remember my wife and I looking at each other and saying, wow, I had no idea that we did this well. We had a rough idea of it, but when you see the final number, it was like, wow, it really wasn't bad at all. But we both arrived at like kind of the same rebuttal to that, I guess. And we were both saying, yeah, but it didn't feel like it. Now, I want to be clear. It was our first year in business, so it wasn't like we were making all this money back then. But when we look at the fact that most businesses, when they first start, really don't start making like a good amount of money until about, sometimes it's 3 to 5 years in, by the way. And I really stand by that number because I've seen that. I've seen it in my own business. But we were like, wow, this is a pretty damn good first year, but it just didn't feel like it. So then we looked a little bit more closely, like, where did the damn money go? And it's not like I was sitting here running off to Vegas and pissing the money away. It's just it didn't feel like we made that much money. And you're talking to a guy who runs his business really, really lean. I'm a one-man act. So I looked more closely at it, and a good amount of it went into PayPal fees. One of the things, too, that I had, which is a good thing for those of you who have PayPal to know about, it's something that a lot, it's like one of the best kept secrets with PayPal. PayPal has this thing called PayPal Working Capital, and it's a credit line that you can get from them. And what's really cool about it is that they won't look at your personal credit. They're going to look at what you're actually doing with PayPal. And you don't have like a set amount each month that you have to pay. What you can do is you can determine a set percentage of whatever you take in. So it works out really, really cool because you're only paying back as you're earning. And, you know, there's some other rules and stuff that apply, but I'm kind of digressing here. But I had that loan payment that I was doing. Of course, you have the taxes that are involved in it. I had some operating expenses. But once I knew where it was all going, I was really able to move my business forward. It was really important that I had understood those things prior to year end. And now, you know, I've changed all that, right? That was one of the mistakes that I made. But I think it's the exact same thing with where your sales time is going. I really believe that it's going into places that you're just not aware of because it happens very, very subtly. So I want to point some things out to you. Now, I want to tell you something, and I'm going to tell you it again at the end. I promise you that as I go along, many of you are going to be in denial. And some of you, you're going to have just cause. Some of you, you're going to say, yeah, that number is not so much me. So what I'm going to invite you to do is do two things. Number one, excuse your ego from the room because your ego is going to tell you that Castain is completely full of shit today, that he's just trying to exaggerate a point. That's number one. Number two, what I want you to do, if you find yourself saying that's not accurate, at least acknowledge that a portion of what I'm saying might be spot on for you. I have no idea of what your exact numbers are and where things are going, but that's up to you to track. So let's jump in now and let's talk a little bit about this. So the first place where you lose a tremendous amount of time is through interruptions. Now, what I'm going to do with a lot of these numbers, I'm going to give you the actual number, and then we're just going to, for the sake of discussion, we're going to round it down just to be reasonable with it. And just because, like I told you, I just hate math, man. I really do. But interruptions, according to a report from an organization called Basics, they found that the average person loses about 2.1 hours a day to interruptions. Now, when I first heard that number, I thought it was an exaggeration. And then when I read the report, I've spoken to a lot of people since then and really made a study of time management because I was horrible with it at one point. What you have to take into account is that it's not just the amount of times that you're interrupted and the amount of time that you're spending on the interruption. It's the amount of time that you spend trying to get back on task, which a lot of experts put it about 23 minutes to get back on task. Plus, there are I don't want to say habitual types of things, but I would say more addictive types of interruptions that you don't even realize it. It's really like a reflex for you, like checking your phone. Like how many times throughout the day are you checking that? Like every time like an alert goes off, boom, you got to check it. You got to stop what you're doing. Understand that that adds up and you're losing time. But anyway, let's put this at about 2 hours per day. Now, in the sales world, I want you to really think about this. In the world that you operate in your company culture, are you losing time to interruption? And interruptions, remember, can come in all different shapes and forms, right? It could be coworkers. It could be your boss. It could be stopping to check the emails and checking your phone. It could be family. It could be your clients. You might really believe, and I'm not faulting you for this, that you always have to stop what you're doing in that moment and respond to a client. So you're never getting anything done. It all adds up. So if we go with that number of 2 hours per day, and again, later on, I'm going to give you an opportunity to say, you know what, I don't think that was accurate for me, and we're going to shave some time off. But for now, let's say it's 2 hours a day. That's 10 hours a week. Do you see how already this is adding up? Just at the end of a week, you've already lost over one business day to interruptions. But anyway, so it's 2 hours a day, 10 hours a week, 40 hours a month, and that is 480 hours per year, which, you ready for this? It translates into 12 weeks. That's 12 weeks right there. I mean, we could literally stop the podcast. I could drop the mic and leave the room and say, point made. There is a lot of time right there that you're unaware of, and I'm going to tell you why you're unaware of it. It usually doesn't come at you in the form of a 2-hour interruption. It's coming at you in the form of a 30-second interruption, a 1-minute interruption, a 2-minute, a 3-minute, a 4-minute. Those things don't show up as like a huge blip on the radar screen, right? They're subtle. They're innocent. They go undetected. But when it happens several times throughout the day, in fact, Wendy Cole from Time Magazine did an article a while back, by the way. She did this back in 2002, and I think it's gotten worse since then. And what she found and what she communicated in that article was that the average person is interrupted 7 times per hour. I think it's a lot worse than that right now, by the way. But 7 times an hour, 56 times a day. That's pretty substantial. So now, right there, we've lost 12 weeks of our year. But let's go on. The next thing, and I think this is a huge thing, and it's really a really big pet peeve of mine, and it's our attitude towards Fridays and Mondays. And the attitude that plays in many times, it's kind of, and I just want you to know something. This is really important that we establish this, because there's a lot of new people now. It's a new year. Yeah, I got to listen to some podcasts and get smarter at sales. So you really don't know me yet. But one of the things that you need to know about me is that when I'm talking about these things, I'm not coming at you from a perspective that, like, I've never made any mistakes in sales. I mean, one of the things I always say and I really mean, is that there's nobody listening to this podcast right now that's going to out-dumb me as far as dumb mistakes go. I've made them all. I've done some idiotic things. My job here is not to come across as a know-it-all, but to spare you some really, like, stupid shit as a result of doing stupid shit. So one of the mistakes I made way back when that I know many of you are probably still making is that my attitude toward Fridays and Mondays was that, well, you know, nobody really wants to talk like business or take a sales call from a rep on a Friday afternoon or a Monday morning. You know, they're just coming back from the weekend. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, how dare you do that? And I felt the same way about like, even like asking people for appointments. I even felt the same way and kind of like when people to this day, I have people saying to me when I propose like a Friday afternoon or Monday morning to talk about my services, somebody be, well, that's Monday morning. And my response is respectfully, of course, is you don't work on Monday morning? I mean, do you guys close shop on like Friday afternoon come 1 o'clock, half a day? Because I want to work for your company because I can't do that and my name's on the door. So it's things like that. And even like this mental checkout a lot of people get on Monday, like especially Fridays, I see it. And it's almost like, all right, well, I'm going to make it an admin day. And or maybe even like there's time wasters that normally wouldn't happen on other days because you're feeling festive because it's the weekend now and it's Friday. So maybe like a bit of a lengthy lunch to catch up with your coworkers and all that. And it's all innocent. And I'm not saying you're like you can't do those things. I'm saying that if you do it on a regular basis, man, it really adds up. So if you look at it this way, if we're losing easily a half a day on Friday and Monday due to, again, our beliefs about that day, or maybe it's about the excuses we tell ourselves, or we're turning it into like admin days, which on the surface seems like you're doing something productive. But again, I want to be clear about something. I personally can't afford to spend one full day of selling time dedicated to admin. I mean, seriously, I'm all about hanging out with family. I'm all about having a life and work-life balance. Many of you know that I am the biggest, like, a-hole in the room when I hear somebody, like, regurgitating this awful message that we always have to be hustling and it's Saturday and I'm taking your business. It's like, yeah, go get a life too, right? But I'm telling you, we can't afford to lose that amount of time to admin or like just not working. It's a full day a week on top of 10 other hours that we're losing on interruption. So this is all adding up. So let's see how much this one adds up. If we're losing 8 hours each week to kind of our attitude toward Fridays and Mondays, well, that's 32 hours a month. In and of itself, that's almost one full business week. And now you multiply that by the end of the year, you ready for this? You've lost 9.5 weeks. So right now, between these two things, we've lost 12 weeks out of our year due to interruptions. We've lost 9.5 weeks out of the year due to our attitudes toward Fridays and Mondays. Now, on a similar note, there's another category. And this one, my friends, is huge. And if you think the other one was a pet peeve, this is my nails on a chalkboard. This is like, to me, when I experience this, it's like, seriously, like I got to go like on meds because it just makes me want to go berserk. It's our attitude toward holidays. Now, I want to be very clear about this one. We're entitled. We should be taking the holidays. We should be slowing down. Life is way too short. But sometimes we milk way too much time out of something that should have been really at most a few days, and we're turning it into a mental checkout. So let me give you some examples. What happens is when we have the days leading up to and immediately following holidays, like Thanksgiving, Memorial Day. How about Christmas and New Year? I mean, that one should be fresh, right there, fresh on the brain. I want you to think about that. A lot of people, and again, I can tell you that they always say recovering people are the worst people. Like you have people that used to smoke, they're really judgmental. People who used to drink and all this kind of stuff. I will tell you that, you know, I'm recovering in this area when it comes to the holidays. I've been through it years ago, and now you have to deal with somebody who's really judgmental about it. I've seen Christmas, which I love. And again, I am going to tell you, I would triple dog dare any of you to out Christmas me when it comes to spirit. And like, I mean, and this is bad, man. Like, I really like shouldn't admit this. Like, I still have my damn Christmas tree up in Castain Training Systems in the office and the Christmas tree lights. And like, I'm listening to Christmas music a few days after Christmas and all that. And it's like, I love this time of year. And I'm here to tell you that you take something that really at most should be a week, that period between Christmas and New Year's, and I've seen it go at least 3 weeks between people mentally checking out and people saying, you know what, like people will contact me in December and they'll say, you know what, well, you know, we'll get going on that one-on-one coaching in January. And again, I, for all I know, it could be a money thing, but I'm not getting the sense it's a money thing. And it's just like, it's just, that's how they're programmed. And I'll ask them, well, why aren't we doing it now? And people are like, well, no, that's what you do. You start off, like, we'll start the year off with that. Yeah, but you like, it's the first week in December. That's three more weeks. And if things have truly slowed down for you, why aren't we taking that time when things have slowed down for you and start to make you smarter so that when things speed up again in a month, you're like ahead of everybody else who's been like taking a, like 30 days off for like a mental sabbatical. So I've seen this with the holidays. I've also seen situations where it's not us, right? It's more the prospect or the client, and we're accepting their excuse, which again, it's call me back after the new year. And it's funny. I was kind of laughing there a little bit. You probably didn't hear me. But if you were sitting across from me, you'd say, Uncle Paul thinks something's funny. Well, we were having a discussion about this in my sales playbook group over on LinkedIn. And by the way, that is a free resource that every one of you needs to be taking advantage of. We're probably one of the only groups out there in the sales category. I mean, you know, we're not the only one, but we're one of very few sales groups that actually has discussions in their groups. I mean, so many of these groups, they call them groups, but it's just basically a spam fest. In my group, we have actual discussions. We pride ourselves in throwing people out that are self-promoting. And we have all these discussions. So it's available to you, right? Like an incredible resource to learn, put questions out there to people who actually care about you and answer your questions and respond. Well, we put up this question and we were talking about the holidays and how people many times will try to blow us off and say, well, you know what, like, let's just pick up after New Year's. And meanwhile, it's like the first week in December. And this guy by the name of Bob Schwartz, who is awesome, by the way, he's one of our group managers, and I don't know that Bob would even be listening to this, but Bob, if you're listening to this, man, I got to give you a shout out because you're one of the guys who's been with the group. I think you've been with us like since we were only like a few months old back in 2009. And you've helped us grow and you help run the group and keep it free of all the garbage. So first of all, thank you so much for that. But the thing about Bob, he said it was like almost like the answer of the year. And he said that he has said to people, potential clients, and I'm sorry if I'm misquoting Bob, but I'm going to give you the gist of it. People who say to me, yeah, call me back after New Year's or whatever it is, he'll very politely say to them, and he's not being a wise ass, he'll say, oh, I'm sorry, are you guys closed the rest of December? And I love that because here's the thing when it comes to that. I think that the vast majority of prospects and clients tell us to call us back after the holidays. You ready for this? Because they can and because they go unchallenged. And the thing of it is, I'm not saying that we all have to be a jerk. And next year, we got to make a note to like beat up everybody and give them a hard time. That's not going to help us. But I'm saying, how much opportunity have you lost just on that one? Right? Think about all the holidays that you've been in business, man, and it really adds up. So we're not even done yet. So now you also have the week of July 4th here in the States, man. That's like huge. That's like a very big vacation week. So you get like, again, like that mental checkout and the excuses like, what's the use? Nobody's even going to be here this week. I'll have a week of admin. I mean, instead of like just taking the damn week off, right? It's just kind of like, and that's my thing too, because you have, like, to me, I always say, you got to make a decision. So one decision you could make around holiday time is that I'm going to take time off and I'm going to hug my kids and catch up with my family. To me, I say, God bless, man. You made a decision. Yay you, man. That's awesome. You get a gold star and a little smiley face and a note home to your parents saying, you freaking rock. Now, you might make a different decision and say, I'm going to work my ass off that week. I want to hustle, man. Everybody else is going to be slacking. Same thing. I say, man, yay you. You get the note and the smiley face home to your parents. Gold star because you made a decision. But here's why I have a problem. These people that come into the office and they become like the walking dead and they're wandering around. They're doing nothing. They come over to you. They see a phone here and you're like, I don't know why you're bothering calling. Nobody's like going to be around. It's like, all right, well, so what should I do? Like wander around and like be a douche like you doing nothing? So you've got to be aware of that. And it adds up. So, but there's more, right? Same thing, like going into like Labor Day weekend. Oh, and by the way, the rest of the summer, just like this mental checkout, unless you're in a seasonal business that like kicks ass over the summer, we see a lot of people. In fact, one of the first coaching clients that I fired, I could not convince him. I mean, he had like this great year. And he said, well, I've had such a good year, I'm just going to coast over the summer. And I was like, why are you coasting over the summer? I mean, you could take time off. You could do some half days. You could work from home, some three-day weekends and stuff. But you're going to take the entire summer off. Because, yeah, man, I got all this like stuff I can coast on. And, you know, like to me, it's and to listen to the person justify it. Well, nothing's going on over the summer. What do you mean nothing's going on over the summer? You could be building up. And like things in your pipeline, and you could be visiting with people, and maybe, I don't know, maybe they're mentally checked out and they're not going to do anything right now. We don't know that yet. But one thing we do know, folks, is that needs, typically, unless you are in a seasonal business, but needs, particularly pain and opportunity, they don't schedule themselves when it's convenient. I mean, think about it. Does your car break down only when you have plenty of time and plenty of money to fix it? Does that tooth like bother you and become excruciating only when it's convenient for you and, you know, you've got lots of insurance and lots of time and this is a great day to have a root canal? It happens when it happens. And that's what we have to remember when it comes to our work ethic throughout the year. So when we look at all of these things that I just said about around holidays and around summer, what I'm going to do is I'm going to be nice here. And I'm going to like take a lot of like I'm going to shave a lot of it off. And I'm going to tell you that between that stuff I mentioned about Christmas and summertime, time leading up to a holiday and immediately following, you know, like where we're taking like what should be a four-day weekend and we're making it into a full week, that kind of stuff, we're going to make that 3 weeks a year. Okay, and again, your mileage may vary, but for most of you, you're saying, yeah, that's about right. Also, too, there's parts of this, too, that, again, you're entitled to. I'm not sitting here judging. It happens. It happens to me, too, so I'm right in there with you. But, like, we're going to get sick. It happens. Sick time. Personal days. Things going on with the kids. You got to take a day off or whatever it is. You'd better be taking some damn vacation. Life is too short for you not to be taking vacation. So let's just say that between sick time, personal days, and vacation, and is it safe to say like about 2 weeks a year? And please don't answer me because you're going to look like a lunatic talking to your computer, and your boss is going to see you and go like are we like overworking you? Is something wrong? Are you okay? Taking your meds? But anyway, you add up all those things that I just mentioned, and you have over half of your year pissed away. It's actually 27 and a half weeks. Now, before you call this an exaggeration for some of you, it will equal an exaggeration. For other people, it's going to equal an understatement. But let me tell you what I didn't factor in here. So for those of you, the skeptics who say, oh, that's way, way inflated, there were some things that I didn't factor in here that you know damn well happened. How about wasting time? All of us, at some point, waste some time. Some people waste a lot of time. Some of it is self-imposed. Some of it is by being around people who continually waste our time. How about procrastination? Procrastination sucks a huge amount of your time, especially when you're embracing, and I call it avoidance activities, things that keep you away from the unpleasant task that you are avoiding. Like, for example, let's just say you really don't like making cold calls. And every time it comes time to do that cold call or those cold calling blocks that you promised yourself you'd do on Thursday, you find yourself in the plant and, you know, you're talking to maybe your inside sales rep. You're taking a lot of inbound calls from clients, you know, because they're customers, and you can't make them wait an hour, right? You can't make them wait a half an hour, an hour. I mean, that's horrible, right? And hopefully, you know, I'm being like a real wise ass here. I mean, you can make them wait an hour. I mean, seriously, if you have a customer that can't wait an hour, I think you got a bigger problem. So how about things like negativity? Can that, like, waste some time? Like, you know, when things like you're letting your emotions get in the way of things, maybe you're harping on that person that you worked so hard and you did all these favors for, and now they're not even giving you the courtesy of letting you know that they found another vendor or whatever, right? That negativity, even negative people. How about, like, I mean, and I know I've had these too. You ever have a day where you're just moving in slow motion? And I'll never forget there was this sales rep that I modeled this person. By the way, he was ranked number 2 worldwide. And at the time, I was probably, I don't know, maybe like 80th worldwide out of like 350, 375 sales reps in this international company. And I'll never forget one day he said, you know, I just feel so out of sync today. And I remember Tony Robbins years ago saying that, you know, there are some days where it's like, it's almost like you walk on water and like you walk, you know, he didn't use these examples, but it's almost like you could go out in the traffic and come out unscathed, like you're unstoppable. And then other days it's like, spell the word the, and you can't. It's like, and he called it being in a stupid state. And there are days like that, that we're just in a stupid state. We got a lot on our mind and we're just kind of like not with it. Like we lose time on that. So there are some of you who heard these numbers, and again, he said, yep, yeah, that's me, spot on. It's like, you know me, Cat Stain, other people. You know, it's me, but not quite that bad. So what we're going to do is let's take those 27 and a half weeks and, you know, that half a year, and let's just cut that down again. Right? So I want to make this so there's absolutely no excuses in acknowledging that these numbers represent you. Let's knock it down to about 17 weeks. So instead of half of your year being taken from you in various ways, shapes, and forms, let's say that it's highly probable that you're losing a third of your year. Okay? So now, again, I'm trying to remove all excuses here. Let's say that the average salesperson is losing about a third of their year through interruptions and time wasters and just like procrastinating and just like all this stuff like around holidays and summer and Christmas and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm curious, what would you do if your boss called you in, and I use this example all the time, and said, I have a surprise for you. I'm going to give you a bonus for that will be the equivalent of about 33%, which would be a third, right? 33% of your yearly income. Again, it's not a trick question. If your boss called you and said, listen, I have a surprise for you. I wanted to wait till after the holidays, but I have this bonus check for you. And you'll find it's exact. I looked at how much you made last year. And not just the salary I pay. I'm talking about commissions and bonuses and all these little incentives that we throw at you. And here is an additional little bonus for you as a thank you for 33% of what you made last year. Would you like hand the check back and say, you obviously need the money more than me. I can't take it. You would take that money and you would run your ass out of there before they change their mind, right? I'd do the same thing too. Now, what if, now coming off of year-end, right? Because I want to beat up this point a little more. My podcast, I'm allowed to do crazy shit like that. But anyway, coming off a year end, what if you were given, right? We go back in time. It's like year end. And like, there you are. Like some of you, man, it was like a photo finish, right? Trying to get that bonus, trying to qualify for President's Club or whatever. And all of a sudden your boss comes in, listen, man, I just watched It's a Wonderful Life. And now suddenly, like, I give a shit about people. And I'm going to give you all an extra 17 weeks to qualify for President's Club, qualify for the bonus. And, or even some of you, maybe you were a little bit like really like under the gun and like you were on the bubble and like you had to make the quota. Or right now you're on a performance improvement plan, right? Everybody's favorite, the PIP. You're on a PIP. And your boss says, you know what? I really like you. I'm going to give you another 17 weeks to make it right. What would that mean for you? Some of you, it's the difference between pass and fail. Some of you, it could be the difference between, you know, a good year and an incredible year. Some of you could mean the difference between hearing about that trip that everybody's going on for President's Club and going off on that cruise and everything, and or like being there and being a part of it and feeling that sense of pride. Some of you, it's the difference between making, again, an all right income and being able to have money for the kids and maybe doing something nice as a family, money for your favorite charity, or, you know, putting some money aside for college or your retirement or something like that. I mean, it can make a huge difference. I mean, we're not talking about $500 or $1,000 here. In many cases, we're talking about tens of thousands of dollars. So, you know, so my thought to you is this. I mean, here's the deal. Now that you're aware of this, I think you need to do a few things. So if you're in a position to pull over the car and write a few things down, I think this is going to be very helpful. I mean, this really had to go somewhere today. I wasn't just trying to spew a bunch of numbers at you and have you debate whether or not they're accurate or whatever it is. That's really not my point. I wanted to raise your awareness that you really have less time to sell than you really are giving yourself credit for. And we've got to liberate some of that back. So the very first thing that you need to do, number one, is you have to have a plan that excites you enough to actually do it and stick with it. And the problem is, many times, is that, like, I'll hear sales reps and they'll say things like, all right, I know what it is, man. I just got to make more cold calls. And, you know, I'm going to be the asshole in the room and I'm going to say that I don't understand people who say they love cold calling. And I know it can't be just me. I mean, I've been in sales forever and I would never say love and cold calling in the same sentence. I wouldn't. I think it's necessary. I enjoy the idea of controlling my destiny and not waiting for money to come to me. But I don't love it at all. And the problem is some people think, well, that's how you do it. You need a plan that really moves beyond the cold call. You need to have, of course, some like phone stuff in there, but there should be LinkedIn in there. There should be snail mail. There should be FedEx. There should be drop-ins and drop-offs and referrals and traditional networking and creativity. There should be a well-balanced mix. See, that kind of stuff goes more along the lines with how you're wired as a sales professional. You're not wired to do one thing for an extended amount of time. That's part of the reason why you haven't been sticking with your plans in the past. So you need something that's going to excite you enough to do it. But as you create that plan, there are three drivers of sales success. And again, it's your mileage is going to vary, and it depends on your role. But for many sales reps listening to this podcast, you hunt the account, and then at the same time, you're responsible for that relationship. So if that's the case with you, there are three drivers of sales success. You need to get new accounts. Once you get those accounts, you need to, at a minimum, retain those accounts, but you also need to wow those accounts, because if you do that, then the third driver kicks in. You're able to grow those accounts and get new product lines in there, new services in there, maybe expand to other locations, that type of thing. Those are the three drivers of sales success, but at the same time, there's a tremendous amount of supportive activities that we would call admin activities, and all of those things have to be respected and accounted for and scheduled. That is, like, to me, like one of the most important things. So Item number two here is get it on the schedule, because if you don't have these things scheduled, again, my little joke of the year, although it's not really funny, but I don't know. It's kind of like pathetically funny. Maybe not funny at all. Who gives a shit? But anyway, what you need to do is you need to get it on the schedule, because if you don't have it on the schedule, you need to say amen because you have a prayer. Again, I think this is the second failure of most like New Year's resolutions and goals and we're going to kick ass in 2017 type of mantras. It's that it never makes the calendar, like that action part. And once you get it on the calendar, item number three kicks in. This to me like gets circled and little arrows saying like over here, dude. It's like you need a plan for the things that are going to pull you away from the plan. Things like your like need to procrastinate and like things with your attitude and your beliefs and allowing interruptions to like get in the way of things. Even like laziness and, you know, excuses like, yeah, nobody's going to like really want to talk to me at 3:30 on a Friday. Or, you know what, it's like Thanksgiving is going to be Thursday and it's Tuesday. Like, yeah, I'll just like wait a week and I'll do it this way. Like Thanksgiving will be behind us. Well, that's a week that you just lost. Then comes item number four. It's flexibility. You need flexibility to, number one, know if your plan's working. A lot of people, by the third week in January, they're done with their resolutions. They're done with the goals for the year. And that's really, really sad. In fact, already, and I make fun of this, and I shouldn't. I mean, I'm just not a fan of all these, 2017 is going to be the best year ever, and, you know, I'm so excited for the new year. Like, I love a positive message, but when it's not backed with a plan, it's just like, well, all we're really doing here is having a Red Bull together because, like, there's nothing here. There's no meat, right? It's just a lot of fluff and no substance, man. We need the plan. But so you need to have flexibility to know when your plan's working and to adjust it. And also, too, there are things you're going to put on your calendar. Like Thursday from 1 to 4, I'm going to prospect. And then all of a sudden, either that account you've been going after forever says, hey, we're ready to buy, but I can only meet with you at 1:30 on Thursday. Or maybe you have a fire that has to be put out at an existing account. And then what happens is that Thursday gets shot to hell. Most sales reps say, you know, well, what can I do, right? I mean, I had this fire or I had this new account or whatever it is. Let me tell you what you can do. You can have flexibility. You don't tell a potential new client, sorry, I only take money from people on Fridays between the hours of whatever. No, man, you drop the phone, you show up and you go, ta-da, here I am, right? That's what you do in sales because you know damn well if you don't, man, I'm superstitious like that, man. That like 30 minutes from now, that deal could be like dead. So we got to move. But we also need to be adult enough and grown up enough to say, okay, so Thursday is no longer going to work. So let me look at my schedule next week or the week after or maybe even Friday and make that up somehow. But don't you dare just say, well, it just didn't work. See, to me, that's not respecting the thing that you had on the calendar. And by the way, I'm sorry, I'm going to digress a little bit. That's the other thing, too. When you put something on the calendar, for the most part, yes, you need to have the flexibility when it warrants it. But other times, you have to respect the appointment. The same way, if you had an appointment with a potential client or an existing client at a certain day, certain time, you wouldn't just blow it off. That would be disrespectful. But again, I'm here to tell you that you have to give yourself the same level of respect. When you promise yourself that you're going to make outbound calls Thursday afternoon from 1 to 4 or 1 to 5, you know, unless the place is on fire or you have a real emergency, you need to respect that. Or if you promise yourself, well, you know, I have a few accounts that I really want to spend some time with, maybe a lunch, maybe a visit, maybe, you know, a few calls where we could talk about their needs and things like that. And I'm confident if I can do that, I can position them for growth in 2017. But then something else comes along and keeps you from doing it. And that's what happens in sales. And it doesn't make it any easier that we have the worst case of ADD on the planet, man. We are just like all over the damn place. And it's like, I think it's awesome in some ways, but for the most part, it's pretty damn awful. So we got to be careful of that. So that's kind of like where I was going with all of this. I mean, you really have to be aware of how much of your time is just like being taken from you. And you're just saying, yeah, what the hell? What? Yeah, take my time. Who cares? I don't need it. I don't need to have like a third to like half of my year anyway. I am that awesome. I'll make it happen in half a year. But I also think we have to have a plan. We have to get it on the schedule. We have to have a plan for things that can and will get in the way of it. And we have to have the flexibility to know that it's working and to maybe like tweak the plan and reschedule things as needed, whatever. And I want to let you guys know that I've actually created a plan that accomplishes all of the things that we talked about today. And I base this on some really idiotic mistakes that I made earlier in my sales career, as well as just kind of being a student of sales like you guys are. And hopefully one of the things you respect about me is that I am still in the trenches like you guys. I'm not spending all my time and, you know, speaking at this conference and that conference and talking about sales all the time. I'm doing it. I am a one-man show, man. If I don't sell, I don't eat. And those of you who have seen me, you know that I'm pretty damn well-fed, right? I'm not a skinny guy. But here's the deal. We're going to be this Thursday, the 12th, we're going to be doing a webinar. And it's called A Simple Plan to Grow Your Sales in 2017, right? I mean, how's that for appropriate? It's going to take place again on January 12th, 11:30 a.m. Eastern. For those of you right now saying, man, I was with you, Castain, but I'm busy. I think one of the most misunderstood things about the training that I offer, because I seem to be tackling this question a lot with people, is that people seem to think that if they're busy at that time, that they're screwed. And they're not. We record every single bit of training that we do. And what happens then is that I'll send you the replay later that afternoon if you can't make it. And, you know, for all I care, 3 weeks from now, you could go and do the training then because it's more convenient. Do it on the weekend, like, you know, like once like your favorite like sports like season is over. But anyway, here's what I'm going to be sharing with you. There's actually a lot, so I'll only give you a few of them, but there's three automated sales tactics that are going to save you a lot of time, and they're going to make you money. And by the way, most of you know that I'm a big like advocate of free, so if I'm recommending things to you, it's not going to be things that's going to cost you money. Next, there is a really simple 15 to 30 minute a day LinkedIn routine that generates leads. The biggest objection that I get from you guys is also like the biggest question. It's like, you know, how the hell do I find time for LinkedIn, Castain? And the way that you find time is by following this little routine that I have. Because once you know what to do on a daily basis and you know when to do it, oh my gosh, man, it's going to make life so much easier for you. I'm going to talk about how to add 1,500 more touches in 2017 without going into overtime. Because a lot of the time when people are talking about time management and being more productive and all that, again, they start getting into this always like hustling like bullshit thing, which I hate. And to me, I want you selling more. And yes, I recognize that there's times like a lot of the time where this isn't 9 to 5. But simply adding more hours to your day to accomplish more is really, to me, the wrong answer. We got to find a way to maximize the time that like you're already spending. So that's a really important thing. We're going to talk about a proven routine to help you sell more. We're going to talk, and by the way, when I talk about a proven routine to help you sell more, it's how we can regularly and consistently work those three drivers of sales success. A plan to get more business, wow and retain the business, and grow the business. So that's what I mean by that. We're also going to talk about 10 ways to absolutely rock your selling efforts this year. And there's something really cool that I did. I set up a top secret resource page. So everybody who signs up for this is going to get access to that page where I have additional PDFs, I have ebooks, I have all kinds of like articles, all kinds of things so that when this webinar is over, it's going to kind of like keep giving for you. There's some exercises, there's all kinds of cool things for you. So if you'd like to learn more and you're ready to take some action, which I'm hoping that you're going to do. This year, we can't just keep repeating the same shit that didn't work last year and the year before and everything else. And we can't just keep starting the new year off, yeah, we're going to get them, but we have no plan. Like we got to stop that too. We've got to get a plan. If you guys would like to learn more and you're ready to take some action, I'm calling upon my humble students right now to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/plan. One more time, yoursalesplaybook.com/plan. And with that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you not only an incredible week ahead, but an incredible 2017. Go get them, folks. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.